stick with the game plan. I think when we get away from it, that's when we run into trouble. So the last game was an example of that. When we were down, we kind of got away from our plan, started to turn pucks over a little bit too much instead of putting it behind their D and wearing them down. We got to understand that when we skate well, we wear down defensemen. And when we make life easy on them, it's much easier for them to play in our end and to keep their speed up for the entire game.
You haven't scored four games. How much is on your mind right now to get going?
Not as much as your mind.
Welcome back. It is Melnick in the afternoon from Fan Jam. Peel and Saint-Jacques. Captain Max Pacioretty after the skate this morning on TSN 690. Habs and Rangers, pivotal game five. 78% of the teams that win game five, Rod Francis told me earlier, win the series. Along with Rod and Mitch Gallo, Pierre McGuire is here. He's not on site here, but he's here. He's in the building. He's in our booth. He's working for NBC, and we're going up here now.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Welcome home, Pierre. How you doing?
Excellent, Mitch. Good to visit with you. Amanda's babysitting me.
Oh, okay. Could be worse. Could be worse. You could be stuck out here with some of these schlubs here.
Oh, boy.
There are people with Pierre McGuire 8x10s that came to have you sign stuff. People wanted to shake your hand and say welcome home, and they've got these long faces now.
I met a lot of people at the airport. I met a lot of people by the hotel. I saw Derek Stepan and Nick Holden walking from their hotel here in downtown Montreal to the rink. So I saw a lot of different people today, and I'm sure I'll see more as the day goes along.
All right, so let's get to it. What about the fact that Alexei Yemelin is back in the lineup, it seems, for the Canadians?
Well, the physical presence, I think, more than anything else. They probably want some crease clearing to go on. Obviously, they saw what happened with Rick Nash going hard to the net. And I think the biggest thing is just, you know, bringing a veteran presence that's been around and knows how to play in playoff games.
What about what Pacioretty said there about wearing defensemen down? Clearly, you know, when the Canadians are on their game, they are moving, and they have a strong forecheck. But isn't that the Rangers game two?
It is. It's why this series is probably going to be long, and it already, you know, destined for six games and maybe more. And I think a big reason why is a lot that goes on between these two teams, mirror images, in terms of the transition game and the speed. The goaltenders are both really good. So it's going to be interesting. I'll stress this. If you're the Rangers and you want to win tonight, you just got to keep playing your road style, and you have to make sure that Price doesn't handle the puck. If you're the Canadians, you got to get speed on the defense. Don't turn the puck over and make sure you can draw as many penalties as possible.
Pierre, there is this prevailing attitude out there, and it's shared by these guys standing and sitting next to me, Mitch Gallo and Rod Francis, that any day now, perhaps as early as the first period and tonight, the Henrik Lundqvist that we saw during the regular season is going to emerge, and that is a couple of bad goals going in on him. I you know, which it may happen, but I see a guy who's locked in. I see a guy who, in his mid-30s, who's coming off a bad year, like a lot of guys around the NHL in their 30s in a very heavy-duty compressed schedule, maybe was projecting ahead to the most important time of year to get focused. I don't know. I'm just throwing – I have no idea, because this looks like the Lundqvist who's been one of the best goalies in hockey for a decade.
I think he wants to prove a lot of people wrong, and that's a dangerous thing in pro sports when you got a guy that's got the capability of doing that. A lot of people doubt him. A lot of newspaper people doubt him. A lot of fans doubt him. Some guys around the league doubted him, and I think he wants to prove a lot of people wrong. So that's a dangerous thing. I still think he can do it. I'm not sure about the bad goal stuff. I've seen a lot of really good goalies give up bad goals in different games, so I wouldn't hang too much on that. But the one thing I would tell you is, and I know I shared it with you, his bounce-back ability has been huge this year, and I think he showed, even though the team didn't play particularly well in Game 3 in New York, they were much better in Game 4, and Hank was a big reason why. So I would not be hoping, if I was a Canadiens fan, that Lundqvist would melt down. I don't think that's going to happen.
But, Pierre, if you're the Canadian shooters, how would you approach Lundqvist, who plays really deep in his net? Because we've seen them score upstairs, but we've also seen them score by really attacking pucks that were rebounds and inside his crease.
I'd be shooting for rebounds. That plays into the strength of the Canadians. I'd be shooting low along the ice, trying to create rebound situations, because then you force guys to get to the net, and that's where you start to wear out the Ranger defense. That's what I'd be doing against Henrik.
Well, Exhibit A, the overtime winner by Radulov, Max Pacioretty kept it on the ice. You know, yeah. Everybody's talking about how he leads the NHL in the playoffs in shots on goal. too many of those shots were little, like, flick wristers from far out.
No, I'd be shooting on the ice for rebounds. That's what I'd try to do against Henrik. And, I do a lot of their games. I watch, I think, all their games, or most of them. And that's – he's still a world – he's a Hall of Fame goalie. I mean, you're just picking spots now. But he's not getting younger. He knows the window's starting to close. It's pretty apparent. And he's going to have to stand and deliver if he wants the Rangers – to even have a chance to get back to the final.
So as we get into the latter stages of this series and the dislike builds and you're facing the same opponent every second night, whether it's tactically or motivationally, what becomes more difficult as the opposing coaching staff and the opposing players get to know you even better every two nights?
Discipline, I think, more than anything else. And obviously there's not a lot of secrets now. And between Alain and Claude, they know each other really well, so there's not a lot of secrets there. And I would say the biggest thing is maintaining discipline. Now, you don't have a lot of hotheads. You know, putting Buchnevich in the Ranger lineup and taking Tanner Glass out, that takes out a little bit of that nuclear deterrent that could potentially get into trouble. You might see, you know, Alexi Yemelin. He'll be a target. They'll go after him, but he's got, you know, we've seen from time to time he can take penalties, so he's going to have to be disciplined. The biggest thing I would say is they're going to probably, like they, I told Mitch the other night, Rod, they're going to go after Gallagher, and I think they see him as being a really important player for this team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go after him again tonight.
How much of a factor might last change be here for Claude Julien tonight?
I think pretty important, actually, more so than most people would think. And now it depends on the kind of game he wants to play, and it depends if they're chasing the game or not. If they get a lead early, then last change matters a lot. If they don't get a lead early, then it can change because then they're chasing the game, and then it's a little different. You'll probably start loading up on guys. I love what Guy Lafleur said. I had a chance to visit with Guy before I came up here with Amanda, and he said something that's really apropos. They got to play this game like it's a game seven. They have to win this game. You don't want to go to New York trailing by a game. You got to win this game. You got to hold serve on home court. You really do. It's really important.
So the Canadians are under some pressure, and here's the flower earlier today on Off the Cuff. He was on with Chris Nyland on Sean Campbell on the pressure the captain is under. Dave?
Eventually it's going to come back, and you just can't put pressure on yourself all the time, you know, and you do your things, and it's going to come. For sure it's going to come because he's got so much talent.
Do you sense, because of the focus, the spotlight, you heard him with a little tete-a-tete with a reporter after the skate today, sense a big night for Pacioretty?
Well, it's hard for me to sense it because I haven't been around the series. I've been watching it from afar. I wish I could see, you know, a little bit more of the day-to-day with him and see whether, you know, his acceleration is there, whether his hands are there. It's hard to really say that to you. I wish I could.
Yep.
The one thing I would tell you, though, is that his answer was really good. I like that. It shows you that he's got a little moxie, he's got a little courage, that if he brings that to the ice and plays with that same kind of vibe, that's a positive thing for him. It's a positive thing for the Canadians. You know, I'll never forget, after he was named captain, I asked him, I said, "You must be so proud. This is an amazing honor." He goes, "I never realized it'd be this tough." You know, and he's
well,
right.
That was a tough year.
Yeah, it was very tough, but I think a lot of people really dream about being the captain of this team and want to be, and then they get it, and they're like, wow, this is really hard. I had no idea. I thought it was going to be a walk in the park.
So, again, based on, it was Pierre who told us at about this time 24 hours ago, Game 6 will be played at MSG on the full NBC network, thankfully. We can all watch it Saturday night at 8, Pierre, Eddie Olczyk, and Doc Emrick. So I suppose you'll be in a better position to answer after tonight. But in the meantime, from what you have seen from afar, give me a couple of players on both teams that have, you know, opened your eyes somewhat, if they exist.
Well, I'm McDonough. I mean, what I think of McDonough. I think he's had a really solid series, and I think I'll just use the Rangers first. I think Nash is really rounding into form. I think that is something Montreal needs to pay attention to. You talked about last change. That might be one. One of the guys that I thought would do more and has yet to do much is Chris Kreider, and I think the Rangers need him at some point. But I would say those would be the guys that have kind of elevated as I look at it. And Oscar Lindbergh, too. I forgot to mention him. I think Oscar's had a tremendous first round. From the Canadians' point of view, I think there are a lot of guys that have been good. But the one that I would say probably more, Shea, has been outstanding. Shea Weber, from afar, again, I stress this, has been really, really good. Thomas has been better. Plekanec, much better than what he was during the regular season. I think that's a really important thing for Montreal. But those – and Carey, obviously. The one thing I would tell – if Carey Price handles a puck, it's a big problem for New York. If he doesn't, it's a little bit easier for him. It's a little bit better for him. But Carey's been very, very good, I think.
Now, you mentioned McDonough. I've been so impressed with him, Pierre, and it's a big reason why we're talking about Pacioretty not scoring at this point. He keeps having to go up against McDonough. And you tell us all the time about targeting players on the other side. How would you approach it if you're Claude Julien trying to break McDonough's game?
Well, rather than try to attack him with speed, I'd force him to turn and go. And again, and Chris knows, Nylund, if he was around, we did this to Raymond Bork 2 years in a row in Boston-Pittsburgh series. You get him, and Raymond was just so darn good. That's why we would do this. You don't just make it easy for him. It's easy for them to defend. Force them to go back and get the puck. So rather than wire the puck, just chip it into a corner, just indirect pass off the boards, force them to turn and go get it, and really wear them out that way, because if you keep it in their corner, their partners can't come all the way over to get it. So Raymond has to defend, or Raymond had to defend and go back and get it, and that's what I try to do to McDonough, especially in this NHL where you can't hook and hold. It's completely different.
Well, he's also got a partner who – there's quite a gap.
Who, with Danny?
With all due respect to Dan Girardi, that's quite a gap between Ryan McDonough and Dan Girardi.
It is, but you know what? When you see penalty killing like the Rangers have, Girardi's a big part of that. When you see crease clearing, Girardi does a lot of that heavy lifting that doesn't really – get on the stat sheet.
Yep.
So in transition hockey, he doesn't look great. It's a little bit like Justin Williams. I was talking – this is just a little aside. I was talking to the Washington Capitals coaches, and they were asking me about Justin Williams, and I said, you know, I wish I had – if I had a team, I'd want a guy like that on it, because you got a chance to win. But if you were playing Sunday night rec league hockey in Saskatoon, he would just be one of the guys. He would never stand out. But you put him on an NHL ice surface and you say there's a Stanley Cup on the line, the guy knows how to elevate. You know, it's just some, and I think Dan Girardi's just like that. You know, if you watch Dan Girardi in a Garage League game on a Sunday night in Quebec, let's say, you'd say, oh, he played in the NHL. And then you watch him in an NHL game, you're like, now I know why he plays in the NHL.
Right. Okay, since you mentioned it, what do you make of, I mean, that should have been an easier win for Washington than it turned out to
be.
Can you make sense of the four games that we've seen so far?
Well, I told you the other day that not having Alzner in game three really hurt them, and not having Alzner yesterday really hurt them. They don't have that shutdown capability. It's just different without Carl Alzner there, and I don't know if they're getting him back for five or not. I'm going down to do game five tomorrow. But he's an important part of it. I give Toronto full marks. They're pushing back, and they're pushing back hard. But the bad news for them is you can see Ovechkin's warming to the task. You can see Backstrom's clearly going to another level. They haven't gotten a lot out of Kuznetsov yet or Johansson. I think they will at some point. Tommy Wilson obviously has been huge. I think we talked about him before the series started. Toronto really didn't have anybody that could measure up to him, and that's been a problem for them in the series. I think Washington's probably getting a little bit more comfortable with everything.
Pierre, after the game last night, one of the Babcock quotes stood out to me. He said it was the first time in the series that the Leafs played like they didn't fear the Capitals at all.
Well, they were trading chances with them. I would agree with that. Mike was right on that, Mitch. The biggest thing is that was a wide-open game. You know, I was in St. Louis working, but I watched the game, and that was a big thing, is just how they were not afraid to trade chances. Now, I don't know if that's a recipe for success or not. When they go to Washington, because if they play that game and Freddie Anderson doesn't give them an A game, I think it's a problem.
All right, the big news in hockey, obviously there was something brewing in Buffalo, even with the denials from Jack Eichel's agent. I don't know how many people saw both Tim Murray and Dan Bylsma losing their jobs. We chatted with Tim Graham of the Buffalo News, and he hosts his own radio show in Buffalo in the first half hour of the show. Pierre, what could you see this coming?
Well, I thought there'd be some issues for the coach just based on having been around their team a couple times in the last 15 days of the season. I was around their team once in Buffalo. They played against the Rangers, and once in Detroit, and they beat Detroit in Detroit. That game in Buffalo against the Rangers, that was a huge bounce-back win for Lundqvist in that one. And Buffalo didn't look great, but they played really well in Detroit. But you kind of got the sense being around their group that – and not everybody was singing from the same songbook, whether it was the management and the coaches or the players and the coaches. You kind of got that sense. But I didn't think that, you know, both of them would get fired. I was a little bit surprised by that, because if you look at the components that Buffalo has going forward, they've got a lot of good young stuff that's going to be tough to beat or play against. Now, does it measure up with Toronto? I don't know. Does it measure up with Tampa? I don't know. Does it measure up with Boston? Maybe not. Does it measure up with Philly? Those are the top teams with young players. Maybe not, but they still got a lot of really good young talent. They really do.
Well, it's springtime. There are openings in the NHL, so if I'm not the first, let me be among the first to ask you if that's the kind of position that would interest you.
I am so excited about the playoff season. It's been awesome. It's really good. This is my ninth game in nine nights in nine cities. I'll be in Washington tomorrow. I'll be in
New York City
Saturday, and I'll be in Toronto Sunday afternoon.
My goodness.
So, and I, who knows, I may be back in Montreal Monday night. So you never know.
So, in other words, you're having so much fun doing what you're doing, you can't even think about the possibility of doing anything
else. I don't allow myself to think about that. Until somebody calls you, you know, everybody thinks you apply for these jobs. Having gone through this now, I think, five or six times, you don't, they call you. Right. I promise you, and I would, you know me, I tell you straight up, yeah. I try to be transparent. I have not talked to anybody there, I promise you.
I've said this before, usually when we end up discussing it, that's a very valuable lesson. Let them call you. All right, is Amanda there?
She is.
Amanda, if you fire
Hello.
Away, for since you're keeping him company, you could fire a question or two, Piers, way before he leaves.
Oh, well, we've already been talking. We've been chatting for
This has been hot stove city up here. You guys missed all the good stuff.
Yeah, well, exactly. Why don't you do it for real now, Amanda?
Ooh, I don't know if there's anything that we were talking about how we enjoy the same restaurants in the city.
And working out.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to, because Sean Gordon is a big foodie of Globe Sports, he told us about Henrik Lundqvist's place, Tiny's in Tribeca. Have you been there?
I have not. I didn't even know he had a place there.
Well, there you go.
We were talking about Vago.
Yes, we were.
We were talking how we both like to frequent Vago, and they've just...
On Green Avenue,
On Green Avenue, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, okay.
Are you going to come visit me tonight during, like, the first intermission or second intermission?
I'm on the air.
What?
Yeah, I'm on the air.
My job doesn't end at 7 p.m. Pierre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Neither
does you know what I might do?
Neither does Pierre.
That's fine.
Yeah, maybe I'll come down and we could race out in our shoes together on the ice as you go across to interview the coaches.
I got
to
do that twice.
I'll run with you.
I got to do that twice tonight. By the way, I'm giving Amanda something to deposit with you.
Oh, it's my All-Star game
ticket.
Yes,
thank you. You know.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yeah. So final thoughts on it.
I'm really excited to be here. I think this is going to be a tremendous game. I still think this series has obviously a long way to go. It would really be wise for the Canadians to get a lead. For whatever reason, I don't think they – I lived this last night in St. Louis. I really thought St. Louis would put the beat down on Minnesota. It didn't happen. Bruce Boudreau coached a tremendous game, probably the best game he coached this playoff season. And they were chasing the game the whole night, St. Louis. They just could never get on track. And their fans, you could feel it. There was a nervousness, a trepidation around the building that wasn't healthy for the Blues. And I think the same thing could possibly happen in Montreal if the Rangers ever got a lead.
They don't like that answer.
Well, I know. But do you want me to lie? I'm not going to lie to you. See right there, they didn't like that? That's what happens when the other team scores. They boo, too.
Good to talk to you.
Awesome visiting with you. Enjoy it.
All right. Thanks, Pierre. And, again, tomorrow it is. What are you guys laughing at?
The booing.
Yeah. When we come back, Marc Denis. Definitely Marc Denis will not be booed. Marc Denis is coming up.
Well, now they're cheering Denis, of course.
Because they heard he's coming. Denis. Yeah, that's Marc Denis is next. On Melnick in the afternoon, we're at Fan Jam Peel in St. Jacques until 7 o'clock.